The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is indeed good to be back for a while. A little less than 3 weeks ago, I, along with a few from All Saints, stood in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the church that most traditionally holds within it the site of Calvary, the place of the cross in which Christ died and his tomb. For those of you who've been there, you know that to get up to Calvary, you have to climb some very steep stairs. And then you stand in line to, if you can and you want to bend down and put your hand in a small hole in which you can actually touch the rock where the cross stood. Now, every time we go to the Holy Land with pilgrims, I like to remind them that they are going to be asking several questions in their heads as they go along. Did this really happen here? Did it happen over there? Where did it happen? And I urge them to try to not get lost in those endless and unanswerable questions. I ask them to consider that there's a difference between a tourist and a pilgrim. A tourist goes to a place to ask questions of the land and of the people. A pilgrim goes to a place and allows the land and the people to ask questions of them. A tourist has been there. A pilgrim is changed there. These two ways of encountering a new place are very different things. When I urge them to not get hung up on those questions, it is for this reason. The point is not where it happened, but if we believe it happened at all. And if so, what does it mean for our lives now? That's the purpose, the meaning behind the events, the places, the stories. No matter where it actually happened, do you believe Jesus Christ died on a cross, the form of capital punishment in the days of Jesus? And if so, what does that gruesome death, that beautiful and unconditional sacrifice of his mean for you, for me, for us? That's the real point. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and that's really about just this, the real point. What does Christ the King mean for you? For all the talk of no kings, Which to that I say, duh. Yes, of course, for us Christians, it's truly clear. We have one King and only one. And they are not human in this life, but the Christ who died on the cross at the hands of the state for the sins of us all. That's our King, the only one we have.
Amen.
So we are left with the ultimate question, perhaps. What do we do with a King who reigns from a cross or after dying on one? What does that mean for our life every day? If it doesn't change us, then we are merely ingesters of the story, hearers of it. We accept the story, but it doesn't change us. We are, you might say, tourists in the spiritual realm. But if that act by Jesus changes us, then we have become pilgrims, walkers on the path, sojourners on the trail, pilgrims on the way. So today on our traditional church calendar, the Sunday is known as Christ the King Sunday. And for us at All Saints, it's also the last Sunday of our 2026 pledge drive. I want to thank your amazing stewardship team who put all of their effort and work into this drive. They vowed to do that, and they vowed to be done with that today. And so we will be. After today, we will turn in the pledges we have received and that so many of you have so generously submitted, and your vestry will begin the fun work of the budget for 2026. And hopefully very soon, the arrival of your new rector. In the week ahead, I will be sending out the list of those on this stewardship team so you can thank them as well, and I hope you will, because they have tremendous energy, creativity, and they love this community. Now, I did sense along the way of this drive for 2026, as I do in most begathons, some consternation, maybe even anger, that the church talks about money at all. There, in some, seems to be this notion that the church will just be saved by some big pot of money in the sky somewhere. And that is wrong to expect that we, as its stewards, would need to be keep it afloat monetarily. But unfortunately, that's how it works in this world. The diocese doesn't have loads of money to keep the churches going. In fact, we, all of you, if you didn't know it, give regularly to the diocese so it can operate. So actually, exactly reverse from this thought that's so often out there. You know, it goes like this. Let's just not talk about money, and it'll all be okay. I want to tell you, there are a load of dark, boarded-up churches in this country, and many coming on the horizon that attempted to live by that thought. But apart from all of that, I've said here and will say again, money and our relationship to it personally and as a body is a spiritual issue. It's not a compartmentalized, evil, unfortunate reality for the Christian, but rather another way to be a steward, another way to reveal how we follow Christ or don't, another way to be changed, to reveal what truly matters, and by so doing, to hopefully also change those that come in contact with us. Money is absolutely ubiquitous in our lives. There is no way to escape it. Every one of us in this room has to have it, use it, worry about it, wish for it, curse it, love it. Nothing that pervades our lives that much can be separated from our spiritual walk and our discipleship. I've also said, and will say one more time, at least this year, that God and Jesus will not love you one bit more or less if you give everything you have or you give nothing at all to this church. Your salvation has nothing to do with your pledge or any gifts you give. But Jesus knew what brain science in our generation has actually proven, that generosity is something all of our souls need.
Amen.
Giving from what we have to others who need it, or giving something we truly believe and have faith in and hope will spread to others, is good for you as a human. Good for us and our physical body. Good for our brains. Good for our mental health. Jesus knew this, that to emulate even in the slightest way our giving with the way he gave to us, with everything, with his very life. We also need to give enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
To know we are giving, even perhaps sacrificing. A word that comes from the same word as sacrament and begins with the word sacred. To sacrifice is to make a thing holy. If anything is a sacrifice on your part, that is a holy offer. The amount matters little. The act means everything.
Amen.
So today, together, we celebrate that. The great generosity so many of you have offered. The hope you have put onto your pledge card for this holy place. The stretch so many of you have made. The risk some of you have taken by doing so. These are so much more than cards. They represent hopes and dreams as well. We support all that happens here for only one reason, or I should say, it should be our one reason. And that is to profess and share with the world our belief in the one King, the only King, Christ the King, who reigns not out of strength and power and might and authority, but out of justice and compassion and vulnerability, and most of all, out of unconditional love for those he loves. Now, I was reminded this week, as I often am, that I'm only a visitor here. Believe me, I know that. But I believe we give like there is no other place we will ever be. Like this is my home and the last place I will ever worship God. And that you are my fellow pilgrims on a journey. So visitor or not, I thank you for letting me walk alongside you for a time. And I give along with Marty because we believe in the mission of this place, in this community, and we pray that it will live on, thrive and grow long after we're gone. May it be so. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.